I thank God for the day that He allowed me to hear the teaching of Gary Carpenter. And the first time I ever heard him was at the March 1997 Prayer and Power Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when he stood up and ministered, I just was amazed. Because I've heard a lot of good teachers over the years. But there was something different about Gary. And it was God. It was the Holy Spirit. And as he ministered, I thought, man, you know, this guy is really good. Well, from that day forward, God has really worked in a supernatural way to bring Gary and Sue and Kathy and me together in a divine friendship. And it's not just a common friendship. There is a... It's God. And they are real people. You know, like fake people. You know, no, they're real people. They're not androids or anything like that. What I mean is, the way they are in public is the way they are in private. They're genuine. And that really makes a difference. And all this week, you know, Gary's going to be ministering. We believe he's going to be ministering in the morning services. How many of you have never heard Gary teach? Lift your hand. Oh, wow, we actually have a few people. Well, you know what? We are going to solve that right here and now. I'm going to have Gary come up and receive the offering tonight. Now, trust me. You don't have to run out the door and get scared and think, well, he's, you know, going to hammer me for money, make me feel guilty if I don't give. No, no. We'll leave that to Pastor Dave. We're going to... But we're going to have Gary come up and receive the offering, and he's just going to exhort and teach a little bit. So, Brother Gary, would you come on up?
Thank you, thank you. Well, boy, after an introduction like that, I'm pretty eager to hear myself. I think it's going to be good. Wow. I'm going to stand here this time. I usually come down front if I can, because I've got so many scriptures here and I'm using the handheld tonight. I want to look at several verses. Get your Bibles out now. We're going to do about a two-week seminar in 10 minutes, okay? Is that all right? Really, we are. It'd be easy to do a two-week seminar on this. In the early days, those thrilling days of yesteryear when Sue and I first got born again in the early 80s, the young man that led us to the Lord was really sincere. And we genuinely got born again. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. And I got to tell you, with that impartation from the Lord, with when His Spirit came into us, a generosity came with it. It just came with it. It wasn't something learned, it was something birthed. And Sue and I were business people at the time. We were in the real estate business, and we also had a construction business on the side. And we didn't have lots and lots of money, but we had more than we needed. And we lived for the times when the Holy Spirit would bring to our attention a need, whether it just be somebody, whether it be one of the people that we got born again with, maybe it'd be somebody else. We just find out there was no food in the house or no gasoline. And I remember one time there was a pretty substantial amount. My memory 30 years later is a little foggy on it. But if I remember, it was like $1,800, I think. It was an odd number, like 1810 or something like that. And I couldn't get away from it. And now I'd hear that number and I'd see this. Maybe it was 1,300. I don't know. If you hear me tell this on a previous tape, that one is right. Okay? As time goes, anyway. Anyway, but it wasn't $5, okay? And we went over to their house, and it's awkward to talk with somebody about things like that. You know, how do you bring that up? You don't know whether they're in need or not. You know, like Dave says, how's your grass? How's your dog? You know, chit-chat, trying to beat around the bush. Finally, you go, I keep hearing this number. Is there, by any chance, does this number mean anything to you? And he told him the amount. The husband looked at the wife. They looked back at us. said, that's the amount of money we have today by 5 o'clock for our taxes. I believe it was for their taxes. We're going to have real problems with the IRS. Man, you never saw anybody get a check out and write it so quick. And be honest with you, it emptied our accounts. It emptied our personal account. It emptied our ministry account. We left there rejoicing because the reward was the reward was His pleasure. That was the reward. We were rejoicing. There was not an inkling of a thought in our mind about a harvest back for us. Now open up to Galatians 6 just for a minute. We're going to do this quickly. I'm so eager to see what the Lord's going to do through Pastor Dave tonight. Then, that young man that led us to the Lord, he eventually got married and moved to Indiana. And when he left, we were left to the tender mercies of the TV preachers. It was a long time before we found Pastor Dave, many, many years. Little by little, you know, deception is built into you the same way revelation knowledge is built into you. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's why it doesn't take much in the beginning, you know. You can have a 95% good message and 5% strychnine. You may survive that one. But over time, you know, that deception gets bigger and bigger. It'll eventually kill you. Well, slowly the TV preachers began changing our focus from the Lord's pleasure when it, or let's say it another way, the Lord's service when it came to giving. Little by little, they turned our focus around to where every time we gave, it wasn't about that person we were given to. My focus was on my reward. This was how we thought you functioned in the kingdom. One of the verses that they lift out of the setting is this one in Galatians 6, verse 7. And I'm going to get a little bit funny just for a minute. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Does a man sow orange seeds to reap apples? No, my brothers and sisters. If you need finances from the Lord, you've got to sow finances from the Lord. And if you want a little harvest, just give a little bit. But if you want a big harvest, sow big into this offering tonight. It got to the point, some of you, in order to get God's attention, you're going to have to max out your credit card tonight. You never heard any greater lie. The hairs of your head are all numbered. You have His attention. You got that? You already have His attention. You know, it says in the Old Testament, His hand, He has your face like on His hand. In modern days, they'd say He has your picture on His refrigerator, you know. You have His attention. Hallelujah. Well, see, they just lift that verse out of its setting. And little by little, it didn't happen overnight. But that's the way it was. Every time we gave, it was about our reaping. Now, keep your place there. We're going to come back to it. I want you to go to Luke 15 just for a minute. The prodigal son is one of my favorite parables, and it's one of the most famous. I'm not going to go through it at length. We don't have time. I've got two series on it already, and I think there's going to be a third. But you know the story that this father had two sons. One of them, he wanted his inheritance. He went and squandered it on the world. He eventually came to his senses, returned to his father's house. And rather than being rebuked and made a slave, the father was rejoicing to have his son back. My son who was lost is found. My son who was dead is alive again. And he threw a big party. And the elder son, who did not rebel, see, the elder son, what's that a type of? Well, really there it was talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But let me warn you a little bit. When you've been saved a long time, when you've been serving in the fields 20 years, 30 years, you got to be careful you don't start having a hardening of the attitudes. Anyway, this elder son, he hears about this party going on. He is upset. He won't even go in there and join. So the father, he finally comes out and says, "What's wrong? You know, Why won't you come into the party? So let's pick it up there. And he says, pick it up in verse 28, Luke 15, 28. He was angry and would not go in, therefore. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. He's saying, come on in. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, notice how he phrases this, he won't call him his brother. Soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Notice he said up there, he says, you never gave me a kid. Boy, this next two verses are so telling. The father said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. The younger son had no idea. He had relationship with his father, but he had very little fellowship with his father. He didn't know his father at all. But one time I was going through here, and that phrase, all that I have is thine, and the Holy Ghost quickened on the inside of me. Go to John 16 real quick. This is why I'm standing here, to have something to put my Bible on. Go to John 16. I said, I've heard that before. Here the elder saying, the father says, all that I have is thine. And I remembered, the Holy Ghost brought it to my memory what Jesus said in John 16. Look at verse 15. Jesus says, all things that the Father hath are mine. But notice, therefore said I, that he, the Spirit of truth, he's talking about in this passage, he, the Spirit of truth, will take of mine and show it unto you. Why? Why would the Holy Spirit, everything that the Father, so we don't have a problem with that. Everything that the Father has belongs to Jesus. But why in the world would the Holy Spirit come then to you and take of his and show it to you for a love offering of $19.90? Because you have been made a joint heir with him. When Jesus says in John 17, he says, Father, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. What glory is that? What in the world is he talking about? He is talking about that standing of sonship. When you were born again, all that the Father has became yours by inheritance. Now, we are either farmers in the kingdom of God, or we are heirs in the kingdom of God. There is a vast difference between those two mindsets. When I started looking, the sowing and reaping is in the New Testament. That's a two-week seminar. We'll do another day. But sowing and reaping is in there. But see, they've got your mindset to where when you sow materially, you're to reap materially. They've got you thinking that way. Well, Jesus already said, all that the Father has is mine. We could go other places. How about Ephesians 1? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already given us the full inheritance. Let me ask you this question. How can you sow to reap more than all? How can you sow to reap more than all? You already have all. There's something wrong with this sowing and reaping message. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. The problem is they've got you thinking that when you sow materially, you're supposed to reap materially. And that's not what Paul taught. What, Brother Gary? That's right. That's not what he taught. It's not what he taught in Galatians. It's not what he taught in 1 Corinthians 9. No, you'll see it here. To start in 1 Corinthians 9, look at verse 9. He's given a type and shadow from the Old Testament. If I had time, we'd start in verse 1. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen, or says he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now here's the verse. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now with that thinking in mind, go back to Galatians 6. We'll go full circle here. He's teaching the same thing in Galatians 6. See, from the minister's point of view, from Paul's point of view, he did the sowing first. He had come there to... I mean, that Corinthian bunch, he's the one that led them to the Lord. He is their spiritual father. He says, I have come to sow spiritual things to you. Is it unreasonable that I would reap carnal things from you? In other words, to support the ministry. It's exactly the same thing in Galatians 6. Look at this. If we include the verses before and after this, we started a while ago in verse 7. Look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, that means share with, him that teaches in all good things. In the Amplified, it says contributing to his financial support. It's exactly the same thing. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him, share material things with him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now look at verse 8. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Keeping it all together, he gave me this simple example. You're sitting in a church service. It's offering time. Maybe you got $20 in your pocket. Maybe the service that day was really good. Maybe you go, man, that was a good service. You know, this guy, he's probably got to eat like everybody else. I probably ought to give him to his ministry. That $20, you know, that'd probably keep him going. But right on the other hand, you know, the casino opens in about 30 minutes. That's exactly what he's talking about. You're going to use that $20 for something. And you can either use it to sow to the flesh, whatever that is, or you can use it to sow to the Spirit. Help support those that are teaching the Word. Help support those that are teaching the Word. And from the Spirit, then, you're going to reap the benefits of whatever ministry gift that is. Amen? You're going to find it's that way. This whole week, I kind of have a preview. I kind of know what's coming on some of it. This whole week, we're going to be looking at sowing spiritually to reap materially, and then sowing materially to reap spiritually. Why do we pray? Got someone with cancer. They got a material problem. Why do we pray? Why do we offer something spiritual to reap something material? Keep coming. It's going to be a good week. All right. Well, usherettes, I hear we have usherettes tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's not an usherette right there. Real manhood cannot be challenged. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being in your kingdom. Father, we thank you that every chain is broken, including financial chains of bondage. Father, we declare there is no lack in your kingdom. You are the God of abundance. You are the God who answers before we call. You are the God easy to be entreated, full of good fruit and mercy and love and generosity. Now, Father, you heard what was spoken. Father, every penny that comes into this offering comes from a heart of love because we love you. We thank you. We want to reap from your Spirit. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity, the blessing of being able to give into the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah.